Let's bring in Doug McLean from Sportsnet into this discussion. Doug, how are you today, good sir?
Good, guys.
Great to get you on the show as always, Doug. And when you looked at the game last night between the Jets and the Golden Knights, what do you expect for Game 3 now that this series is tied at 1? How important is it for Winnipeg to get off to a good start?
Oh, they've got to have a great start. I mean, after, you know, in fairness to them, I expected them in Game 1 to struggle. I thought coming off that emotional seven-game series and playing 2 days later, they would come out flat in Game 1, and they come out the opposite. I mean, they were flying in the first period in particular and then played exceptionally, pretty solid, but maybe it just caught up to them last night, although they hit a couple posts early, but they weren't themselves. I didn't think they played anywhere close to the way they had to play, and give Vegas credit. Vegas scored, like you said just a minute ago, timely goals, and the big line continues to get it done for them. It's amazing.
Now, we were just talking about Thomas Tatar and how he's been healthy scratch quite regularly through these playoffs, gets put back in, scores a big goal for them last night. What do you make of the fact that they gave up that much to get him? He's on this longer-term deal, but Gerard Gallant has the ability and the, I guess, approval of management to make those decisions in the moment and scratch him the way he's been doing.
Well, you know, I didn't like the trade to begin with. They give up a first, second, a third for Tatar, and he becomes your highest-paid player at the trade deadline. It was kind of a bizarre move to me. And then Perron's not feeling well, sick, and they make a move to put Tatar in, which is probably the only move he could make, that type of guy to go into his top six or, you know, into that top nine group. So it was a good move by Gerard that worked out well. I'm not a big Tatar fan, but, I guys get in when they're fresh and they're excited to get in, and then he scores the big goal. So good on Gerard for making it happen, to be quite honest.
No,
in the playoffs it's a little easier. You know, you're frustrated with a loss. You say, okay, I'm gonna make a couple of moves, and it was the right one by Gerard.
How important do you think? I mean, when you look at the coaching for both these teams, Gerard Gallant was somebody that obviously has been through a few different scenarios before he found his way to Vegas, and of course, you know, Paul Maurice in his history, both in Carolina and Toronto, and finally in Winnipeg. What does it say about the longevity of these two guys that they've gone through so many different scenarios, but yet they are here getting the most out of both their teams?
Well, Gerard was with me for 9 years in Columbus. You know, I hired him as an assistant coach with Dave King, and you know, I've known him since he was 10 years of age. As a matter of fact, I taught him in high school and coached him in Detroit, and we've been great friends for, it seems like, 100 years. But when you teach a guy in high school and you met him when he was 10, you go back a long way with him. So, you know, I know him well. I talk to him on a regular basis, and he's always been an excellent guy. I mean, you know him as a player. He was a tough, hard-nosed guy that played, I couldn't wait to bring him in as an assistant coach with us in Columbus. Then I made him the head coach, and we didn't have a very good team, and he had his challenges. And it may have been the worst day of my life when I was told by the owner to fire him, I'll tell you that. And, you know, I remember walking into his office and saying, I don't want to be here, but I got no choice. But you know what? I'm proud of him. He goes to Florida. After that, he goes back to St. John, coaches Major Junior for a few years, 2 or 3 years, wins the Memorial Cup. Gets a chance with the Islanders, gets a chance with the Montreal Canadiens assistant coach, and then he gets another chance in Florida and did a real good job. And as bizarre as that one was, he battles back. So I'm really proud of him.
Well, it seems like he's definitely embracing this run. And another coach who's sort of embracing having postseason success when he hasn't had it in the past is Barry Trotz. And Barry Trotz, I mean, never been past the second round, yet here he is. And his Washington Capitals team has looked ready for every single game they've played, maybe outside the first two against Columbus. Is this essentially the Capitals understanding and realizing that this is their chance and they're making the most of it?
You know, Trotsky's been a lifer. You know, he's it's funny, we go back. I hate to keep reminiscing about this, but, just a sec, what number? I hate reminiscing about this, but we were together in Washington. He was a scout and I was assistant coach, and then he started coaching our minor league team, and Trotsky's been a terrific guy his whole career. He's always been a top coach. He did a great job in Nashville, but couldn't get them, you know, past that first round for so many years. And then now he goes into a tough coaching situation with Ovechkin and company, and it took him a few years. And You know, this year at Christmas, I was hearing rumblings he was out of there, that he didn't want to go back. There was differences with management. His contract's expiring, and most people expected him not to be back. Now what do they do? Now what does he do? Does he want to go back? Do they want him back? You know, the assistant coach gets a contract extension during the season, and the head coach doesn't. Are you kidding me? So now he's a couple of wins away from going to the Stanley Cup Finals. And, you know, what are they going to do now? So I love it. I love it. And he's done a heck of a job, and they're playing exceptionally well. They dominated Columbus after the first two games. Their top six has been amazing. And then you look at Orlov. I mean, all of a sudden, he's one of the top 15 best defensemen in the NHL. Orpik's playing great. Niskanen's playing great. And I haven't even mentioned Carlson yet, and he's a stud. So I really like the way they're going. And look at Holtby. I mean, he loses his job, and then he bounces back in game three, third period of game two, and then he turns it around. So it's a great story.
Yeah, I've been really impressed with Washington. And then on the flip side of that series, I mean, it seems like Tampa, they haven't even really got started. They're down 0-2 now. What do they have to do to fight and claw to get back into this one?
Well, they got to figure out how to get through the neutral zone and get their speed going. I mean, they look like a slow team, and we know how quick they are and how dynamic they can be with, you know, the points and the Palats and the Johnsons, and I haven't even got the Kucherov and the Stamkos yet. I mean, they've got to figure out the neutral zone and how to get that puck through there. And, you know, it's interesting. Winnipeg were slowed down by Nashville in Winnipeg, but in the last game, they came through the neutral zone with great speed, Winnipeg, in Nashville game seven, and they took their game to another level. So I'm really anxious to see what adjustments Cooper makes tonight, and if he can get, you know, and a lot of it's confidence. It's wheeling the puck. It's confidence. It's good. It's great puck support. But it really is number one way to break a trap is obviously good position, but to wheel it quick and move through the neutral zone as quick as you can before they can set up. So I'm anxious to see what they try to do tonight, because they got to get their speed going or they have no chance. And I'll tell you what, this top six on Washington, with the way Kuznetsov's taken his game, give Lars Eller credit the way this guy has played, moving from the third line into that top six. And now all of a sudden, Verana's played well for them. They dominated Columbus, and now, you know, that top six is dominating the top six in Tampa.
Well, you mentioned those guys in Washington, Lars Eller stepping into that hole that has been made vacant by Nick Backstrom being out of the lineup. How difficult a decision is it from a coaching point of view when you have a player of Nick Backstrom's caliber and he's maybe almost ready, but you're in a situation like Washington where you're up 2-0? How do you decide? Like, I mean, obviously you want your best players in, but you got to look a little bit big picture and if he's really ready to contribute or not.
Yeah, you know what? It's a tough one. It's a real tough one because, you know, you get game three, you're winning the series. If you get game three, you're winning. 85% of the time you go up 2-0, you win. But you want them back in there. But you've got to think that, hey, maybe we can win more and more game without them here at home. And then we have them for the finals, you know, which is when we're, you know, which will be critical. You certainly don't want to lose them for the finals. So, you know the way it is when you're in a dressing room. It's when the player really says, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. And you trust Backstrom's smart enough. The Bergerons, the Backstroms, the guys that are the backbones of their teams, they're smart enough to know when they can go and when they can help the team and when they're not going to risk re-injuring. So you hope they can get through it and you get him back, because this guy deserves to be in the finals for me, the way he's performed over his career.
And Doug, before we let you go, there's some news. We know Toronto found their GM, hiring Kyle Dubas to be the GM, but the Wild are still searching for theirs. And a report from Michael Russo today says they interviewed Dave Nonis and sort of add him to Paul Fenton and Tom Fitzgerald being and running as a new GM in Minnesota. Where do you see this one going?
I see it being Fenton or Tommy Fitz. I really do. Paul's been with Nashville for obviously most of his career, and he's got a relationship with Leopold from that. And also Tommy Fitzgerald was in Nashville with Leopold as well when he went there as an expansion player. I like both of them. I love Tommy Fitz. I coached him in Florida, and we've sort of stayed in touch, and he's as good a guy as you'll find. He's done a nice job in Pittsburgh, and he's done a real nice job in Jersey. Paul, I know well. I mean, I think they're both real good hockey people, and they both paid their dues. And, you know, I think either one of them are a good choice. I don't see Dave. I mean, I like Dave. He's a good man. He's got good experience. But I don't see Dave being in the mix here, but I may be wrong.
And ultimately, what do you think happens with Bruce Boudreau? Will it depend on who becomes a GM, if they want to keep him around? Or do you think with the owner there, Leopold, he has already made a decision and wants Bruce Boudreau around?
I wouldn't want to be a new first-time GM if it's one or two walking in saying, you know, we owe Bruce $8 or $10 million. I think we should let him go. I think I'd probably say to the new owner, I could probably work with him, you know, and save the $10 million, you know?
Right.
The last thing new GMs like to do is go in and say, let's get rid of a $10 million coach. You know, I might try to work with him if I could, you know?
Yeah, no,
what
I hear that.
Think?
No, I mean,
you know, it's like you guys. It's like if a new general manager comes into your station and they got you guys on big tickets, I mean, they're going to put up with you until they can find the right time to get rid of you. That's the same scenario.
Good advice. Identical. Good advice. Yeah.
Well, the thing you don't know about us
lucky
is.
Lucky in Toronto.
Well, it's more about the egos they got to manage when it comes to us over here in Vancouver, Doug. That's the
exactly thing.
Exactly.
That's what I've heard. And not to mention the other guy that's on in the afternoon talking about an ego, Walker. Oh, my God.
Yeah. The ego's far bigger than the stature. Am I right, Doug?
Oh, I like him. I'm just busting. Sportsnet 650.